I had a little trouble looking at this passage, but I realized that it's all connected with this whole emphasis that the author of Hebrews has been making about faith. Take up your cross and follow me. That's what was the words of Jesus to us. And when we think of those words, we think about self-denial, don't we? We think, take up your cross and follow Jesus. We think about self-denial. But the author of Hebrews, in the passage that just came before, the few verses that just came before this in chapter 12, was pointing to the death of Jesus on the cross. And then he says in verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. In other words, you haven't died yet. So keep carrying your cross. You're not dead yet. I mean, you haven't been a martyr. Now, some of these people, they were under persecution. Many of them were under persecution. And that's what Jesus had predicted. And some of them would have their blood shed as martyrs. And they may not have known that, but they were. And the author of Hebrews was trying to give them or help them have an attitude that was the right attitude toward suffering, right attitude toward hardship and trial and suffering and the things that happen in this life. And to do this, he emphasized the importance of faith. But he did it in one specific area that we need to look at. He was explaining to them how to understand suffering in terms or as the discipline of God. That we're to see suffering as the discipline of God rather than looking at suffering without faith. And that's the first point of this passage. Looking at suffering without faith, that starts by forgetting the fatherhood of God. When we forget the fatherhood of God, we start looking at our suffering without faith. We just have a bad attitude towards it. And it says in verse 5, and you have forgotten. You have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. And remember, this word sons means one born in the family. It could be a male or a female. It's children. But it's one born in the family. So you are all sons because you were born, and you're sons of God because you're born again into God's family. So that's when it talks about sons, it's addressing all of us, male and female. So God is addressing us as children because he's a father. Now, God by nature is all powerful. That's one thing about God. But his power alone is not that human friendly to us. If that's all he has is just power, that's not a human-friendly thing. Our only hope as humans is that his power is connected to love and that God is love, is what the Bible teaches. And all of his power is translated through that love. So it doesn't come to us as sheer power. It comes to us as love. And we have to see that God's power and his love are married. They're united. They're not separated. God is not schizophrenic. God is whole. God is unified. God is integrated. He is healthy. And he's not schizophrenically throwing down lightning bolts here and that kind of thing. His power, which is all power, is connected to his magnificent all-lovingness. So that's something important, and that's user-friendly or human-friendly. Now, God reveals his love in this way. He shows his fatherhood. He revealed to us his fatherhood in the Bible, especially through Jesus. Now, we do have a creature-creator relationship, a creator and then a creature. That's the relationship of all creation, and we're part of that. But it's more than that. There is an intimate relationship of a parent to a child in our relationship with God. Now, what this means practically as we face trials in life, what this means practically is that any suffering experienced in life, it doesn't matter what it is, any suffering that we experience in life has to come through or pass first through the loving heart of a Father in heaven. And it also must pass through His omnipotent power, the hand of His power. It must pass through His hand in some way in order to reach us. Now, that's an important point. And we forget that when we forget to have faith that God is all powerful and God is all loving. And therefore, any suffering that comes our way must have to pass through His hand. And if we don't have the concept of the fatherhood of God, we can't have that. We can't have that. But sometimes we respond dysfunctionally to that suffering when we forget the fatherhood of God. And it says right in verse 5, the second part, "My son," or child, "my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you." There are two bad responses. There are probably a lot of bad responses to suffering that we can make. But the Lord points out two main ones. One is treating it lightly or stoically. You know, oh, it's nothing. It's trivial. Oh, it's just normal. It's a part of life. Calamity happens to us all. Just ignore it. That's treating it lightly. But we must not do that. We must see that God's power is some way involved in this. It may not be that God says, "I'm going to slap them down," you know, but He is allowing that situation in life, the hard knocks of life, He is allowing that situation because He knows something about it that we don't, which we're going to see. And then it could be the other response. We could say, "Oh, I just lose heart when He rebukes me. When He disciplines me." You know, God does not want us to be disheartened, to be discouraged, to be downcast because of suffering in our life. We might say, "Well, God doesn't care. You know, God doesn't love me anymore. Or God doesn't see this. He doesn't see what's happening to me here." You see, those aspects forget His fatherhood. An all-wise Father is allowing us to walk this pathway. And it's a God of love who is leading us. We have to see that. We have to hold on to the fatherhood of God. Now, Christianity parts ways from other religions in this one aspect, and in several aspects, but in this one mainly. And that is in this idea of seeing in the heart of the Creator the heart of a Father. It's strange to other religions to hear us call God Father. It's just God, Creator, Almighty One. But we have a relationship with His power. We have a relationship with His love in His fatherhood. Christian faith sees God's hand in all of life's circumstances. We must. He is God. We must. But we have to see it in respect to His fatherhood, in His hand as a father. Now, others may borrow this concept. Other religions have, especially because Christianity has affected other religions. And they have adopted this idea of going through trials of life, realizing that God somehow is doing it. And they say, "Oh, it's the will of Allah," or something like that. But they don't have an idea that God is doing this as a father, and that this is just discipline, at normal family grow-up discipline. Now, Christians are different because they don't just borrow this concept. We are connected to it spiritually. You could say we're connected to it organically. We are children of that Father by new birth. We have been born again through the Holy Spirit to become a part spiritual children in His family. This connection we have with the Father is a real connection. It's a real, legitimate connection. And we can have faith based on that connection. So doing that, when we have a new perspective on suffering, we have a new perspective on trials and hardships, and that is, we don't just see them as something just happening. We see them as a part of discipline, a part of God's discipline. And we understand it that way. Now, instead of taking it lightly, despising it, treating it as if it is worthless, or to collapse underneath it, which is the bad responses, we are, it says in verse 7, to endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? We can endure hardship as discipline because, first of all, it is governed by a loving hand. In verse 6 and verse 8, the Lord disciplines those he loves. This is coming from a loving hand. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. We say, wait a minute, punishes? Does God punish us? Well, did your parents ever punish you for doing something that you shouldn't be doing? Mm-hmm. We had parents like that, and that's what it said. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes disciplining, then you are not legitimate children. You are not true sons. Now, the point is, discipline in suffering is not something that God himself does not understand personally. That's really, really important. He's not a distant father because of the Trinity. God has experienced our suffering. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Look what it says in Hebrews. We went over this before in Hebrews chapter 5. Although he was a son, although Jesus was a son, the Son of God, he learned obedience from what he suffered. We don't think about Jesus going through trials, do we? We think, oh, he just never had any trials. No, he did, but he overcame them. And because we're in him, we can overcome them. You know, I was just reading the other night, or last night, and it really took away a lot of time in my sermon, trying to answer this girl on the internet. There's these things where you can talk back and forth. They don't read it right away, but they get it later on. And she had written a poem against God. She was angry at God for letting some people die that were in her life. And she listed them. And she said, this is cruel. This is not right. This is, and she just went on and on. And then she called God some really bad names. And the last point is, he doesn't live down here with us. And so how does he know what we go through? And then she had some really bad names for him. Well, I wrote her back. And I wrote it in the form of a poem. And it was free verse like her poem. And this is what I said. A human-friendly faith. Death invaded a perfect world when human trespass ruined it. The best a God of love could do to heal the world of human error would be to become a human himself. If not, then let the skeptics lead us. If so, then let all critics plead mercy. They'd owe him more than apologies. They'd owe him lives and allegiance. Only one faith is really human-friendly. Only one story tells of God becoming human to undo human bondage and defeat death. In that faith, God came and died and left behind an empty tomb to prove his victory. If sharing that victory is his offer, if that's how a destiny of eternal happiness comes to us from the hand of a loving God, then I can wait patiently for resurrection during these few years of earthly time, before death meets its final destruction at the return of the God-man. No other faith is worthy of human trust. Skepticism can preach, too good to be true. Faith in a loving God says, too good not to. And I think that captures the whole gospel right there. But it is God's connection. This is God's connection to us. His humanity in Christ makes him know our suffering and makes him lead the way. We can go through hardship. We can endure hardship as suffering and endure hardship and suffering as discipline because it's part of growing up. It's part of growing up. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Yes, we've all had discipline in our lives as children. We are still children. And I appreciate my parents' disciplining of me. And I think most of us have appreciated that. I mean, sometimes it was not correct. And I've had my dad give me some unjust spankings, you know, unjust spankings, he called them. And he said, well, we all get some unjust spankings in life. And we do. We seem to anyway. Well, there's a question I have, and I think we all have this question. When do I finally grow up? When does the discipline stop? And I think God has some questions in answer. Well, do you still gossip? Do you still complain? Do you still criticize others? Do you still have areas of pride in your life? Do you still act selfishly? I mean, God could keep on asking questions. You can stop now. I take that other question back. I guess I'm not grown up yet. So God is a father of love, and He is disciplining us. And we can endure it because it's not given at a whim. That God just says, oh, today I just feel like spanking them good. No. You know, I mean, that's not how God is. God, now we may have received those kinds of spankings and disciplines and punishments from earthly parents whose disposition at that point in their day was not right, and they just went ahead and spanked us or what. And they said, I'd let it go someday, but today I won't let it go, you know. Well, God is not like that. It's a loving will, not a whim. It's a loving will of God. And it's His loving will that we grow up to be like Him. In verse 10 it says, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Our parents may have done it what they thought was right. You know, they thought was right, but God does it to bring us into a holiness. You know, it's almost like labor, bringing forth a birth. And I do it all the time. I'm in childbirth all the time. And when I think of enduring hardship, I think of these women who are in labor. And I watch these mothers in labor, and they are going through anxiety and pain and their exertion. They're just tired. They say, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how many times. I might as well have a recording. I can't do this anymore. And say, I want to play that the thousandth time I've heard that. I cannot do this anymore. And yet they do. They make it through. And at the end, there's this tremendous stretching. They say, I can't do this. I say, push through the pain. You can make it. And then at the other side, joy. Joy. I mean, ecstatic joy. And tears of joy at the birth of this newborn. The goal, and that's my focus, is keep their eyes on the goal as they keep on laboring. Well, Christian faith sees the Father's hand in all of life's circumstances. All of life's circumstances. And we have to remember that the Father is a God that has a bigger plan than we can see right now. It says in verse 11, later on, not right now, but later on, God's discipline produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Later on. So what's our responsibility until that later on of the future finally gets here? What's our responsibility? Our responsibility is watching our walk of faith. We need to watch are we keeping this idea of God's fatherhood always in front of us when we go through life. One thing we must do, it says in verse 12, strengthen our feeble arms and knees. Well, how do we strengthen our limbs? We exercise, don't we? God has given us many exercises that strengthen us through the journey of life. Prayer, reading the Word, this thing about, I told you, get the hymn book open, take these home, and during your quiet time, get them open and read them to yourself and read them to the Lord, because sometimes they're a prayer. How about fellowship? And sometimes that means fellowshipping with our friends that are around here or on the telephone or by letter, or if you know how to use email, by email, or by a book, by a good Christian book that's been written years ago. We're fellowshipping with somebody that's gone on 100 years ago, but we're still fellowshipping with them. When they read their writings, they say, oh, they're speaking right to me. They're encouraging my heart. That's our responsibility, to strengthen ourselves. And another responsibility is to not choose trouble on purpose. Make level paths for your feet. Don't choose crooked paths that will get you into trouble. Don't make, you know, I have to say this, that the monks in the desert, they wanted to get strong with God, so they left society so that they could suffer in the desert. And I used to think that was a great thing. But you know what? Jesus said, each day has enough trouble of its own. You don't have to create it. You don't have to get strong that way. And you know what? They had the same, those monks, if you read their stories, they learned many lessons, the same lessons we learn. They learned many lessons and they went through that struggling all their lives and still had the same struggles as they died. Even though they had created for themselves all these hard ascetic practices that would treat their body poorly and not get enough sleep and not eat the right kind of food and not bathe their bodies and things like this to try to get more holy. No. God arranges our program for us. We do not have to arrange it ourselves. Make straight paths for your feet. And choose to accept the discipline that God gives. It's right before us. He wants to give us level paths so that we will not stumble through our suffering. Isaiah says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low." Why? So that it can be level, so that we will not stumble in our walk. God wants us to meet victory as we walk through the trials of life, as we walk through the troubles, as we walk through the pathway with straight, level paths for our feet. So that, it says in verse 13, so that the lame, what in us is lame and could fall and could stumble, what's in us that is lame might be healed and not disabled. Because we could. Because there's tragedy in this life. There's Christian shipwreck in this life where we succumb to the suffering. God is pointing to us to have Christian faith that sees the Father's hand behind the suffering, so that we can say all of life's circumstances come through the Father's heart and come through the Father's hand in His power. Nothing touches me that doesn't come through my Father's hand. And I can support it. I can get through the midst of trouble. And that's also, very importantly, that's also because we are holding on to another hand. We are holding on to the hand of Jesus, who is the one who introduced us to the Father's love and showed us what the Father's love was like, and who said to us in John 16:33, "I have told you these things," including the fatherhood of God, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart." Don't lose heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Our victory in life's sufferings, in life's trials, in life's troubles, is in Jesus, walking in Jesus. Where God's fatherhood is revealed in His heart. Let's pray. Father God, thank You again for a passage that, Lord, is extremely difficult because we know what life is like. We know that there is grief, there is trouble, there is difficulty, hardship, suffering, there's pain. And Lord, You have told us that we can endure this. We can endure hardship because we see it as coming as discipline through our lives to make us strong, to make us pass through into Your family, in a family of holiness, where nothing is left behind, nothing is untouched. Our pride, our gossiping, our criticism of other people, whatever it is in our lives that holds us back in our victory, Lord, You have helped us to see that we can be disciplined and that we can pull away from those things to live a more holy life. Lord, later on we will see this fruit of righteousness, this harvest. Lord, we can't see it all right now. Lord, help us to have that vision. Through your fatherhood heart, help us to have that vision of the future and the future bliss and the reward of going through this life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.